The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Hi, this is Eric Fiorello, and I want to welcome you to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. Today, believe it or not, is already May 9th, 2016, and we are sponsored by Steven Santangelo's Athlete's Choice. This is you can unleash your strength with relentless metabolic endurance through 100% pure, wholesome, organic foods. Contact him at primalcreations@aol.com or on Facebook, STEPHEN. Period, S-A-N-T-A-N-G-E-L-O, period, 75. I'm going to talk to Steven. He's going to be on this week. He's been helping me out big time with different greens, different things to really promote and make my system much, much stronger, my voice, everything. And we're going to get into that this week. And I do believe we're going to talk about planting gardens because he's got a massive farm in Kentucky, and I'm getting ready to start tilling my garden and put it in, and if it would just stop raining here for a change. Also, too, 8xclub.com, we're going to talk about that right now. We are running a contest to win an 8x club here. Basically, we're going to run this. Motivation Muscle is partnered up with 8x Club, so you can enter a chance to win. This club is valued at $239. And we started this on May 1st, and it's going to go through May 18th, 2016. Here's how you get a chance to win. All you got to do is go out and enter your name and your email address to motivationandmuscle.com/club. It will give you everything about the club. I'll give you a couple features of it. I mean, it's awesome. I have one. The thing's killer. Number one. The club weight settings, 3.5 pounds to 25 pounds. It's perfect for two-hand and one-hand club exercises. It's great for rehab and heavy rotational power training. And he's got four videos down below, which are incredible that he's done. And if you go and sign this up, we're going to check out where you go after. You could get a message where you can go in, and we got privately, through YouTube, five more videos for you to look at. This is a phenomenal club, and Donnie is a phenomenal guy, and I'll tell you this, it just shows you, because I got Ken Nowicki coming up, and we've been talking about entrepreneurship and doing what you need to do and making the money and having a great life. I got news for you. Donnie wrecked his shoulder bench pressing, all right, and he was pretty much out of work, and he didn't know what to do. Well, his creativity came through, and he created this club, which is incredible. And I can tell you this, you buy one club, that's all you got to do, and just keep putting, taking the weights on and off or adding more and more. And he did tell me he's probably going to have the weights up to 50 pounds shortly. So all you do basically is screw the top off of this thing, and there's like pins, and you put the different size weights right on the pin, screw it back down, and away you go. So go out to motivationmuscle.com/club, enter in, and on the 19th, somebody's going to get a call, or an email, I should say, that you won, and you're going to come on Motivation Muscle with Donnie and myself. So good luck to everybody. Don't forget, too, top 10 ways to build mind and muscle out on FiorelloBarbellCo.com. That is a free ebook. Go out, commit, take action. That's all I can say. Strength times power equals success in the winner's circle. Those are my two biggest products to date. Same thing, life-changing, very economical. Go out and take a chance on yourself, and we're going to have much, much more down the road with this place. Well, today, we got a good friend of the show. We got Ken Nowicki on, and Ken's on with us every month, and I was telling Ken how a lot of changes, a lot of new people, and we're very happy. But I'm going to give you a little information on Ken. He's the owner of knstrongman.com. He's of Scottish descent, and he's the youngest person at age 17 to lift the Denny Stones. Kenny, welcome to the show. Obviously, I know I haven't hit everything, but come on in and give us anything I've missed about you, sir.
Hey, thanks for having me again, Eric.
Love to have you, brother.
So, you know, same as we say every month, you know, Force Kind's Scotland's Strongest Man over a couple of different federations and age classes, competed at Europe's Strongest Man, 7th at the Arnold Amateur, and competed in China a number of times, tested at World's Strongest Man. So I've been around the sport now for about a decade now. So it's definitely definitely changed my life for the better, really.
I think, you know, we've gotten into this a lot, Ken, you know, and that's what we're going to talk about today is mental winning. I don't think we can ever lay this down enough. And Ken's coming from a different perspective, and I usually do too. But, you know, Ken's done this stuff, like he said, for a decade. And, you know, I'm sure he can tell you right from the get-go how much it's changed in his life and how it's changed him for the better. And this is one thing that I want to stress to everybody before we start. You're never down, and there's no, and you should never let anybody tell you you can't do it, all right? I've had two of the world's strongest man disabled gentlemen on here in the last month. We had Gary Clark on the other day, and we have Jeff King from Canada. You know, when you hear them talk, man, there is no reason you can't get off your ass and do something. These guys are unbelievable, and I love talking to them because they inspire the hell out of me too. So, Ken, Let's just talk, you know, we'll get this thing fired as we go through, but mental winning. Now, we know you're getting ready for another meet, but let's kind of talk about, you know, you started out, you knew what you wanted to do, you got into it, but my God, I mean, you've over 10 years, obviously you've gotten bigger, stronger, obviously mentally tougher, but give everybody in the audience just a little snapshot of where you started and kind of where you are right now, and we'll just go from there.
So for me, I started the sport 2006. Had my first contest the week before my 18th birthday. I started training in the gym. Well, I started training at home, I think, around 12 or 13. And it was, you know, like bicep curls and all that sort of stuff.
Sure.
And now I was always a bigger kid. I mean, I graduated high school at 265, roughly.
Yeah.
But like I lied about getting into the gym earlier, and I originally started out just wanting to be big. You know, I've watched WWE or WWF at that point,
yep.
A lot of Schwarzenegger movies, all that sort of stuff, and just wanted to be a big kid or a big guy. I mean, I already was a big kid, but for me, like I used to watch World's Strongest Man on TV at Christmas when it was on, and never knew that it was possible to get into something like that. And then when I started doing, like, I was just training in the gym, bodybuilding, powerlifting stuff, and one of the guys at the supplement store that I went to, he competed in strongman, and then there was the big tsunami at Christmas 2004, and the May 2005, he ran a fundraiser for that. Mm-hmm. A little strongman contest. I've watched that and didn't think it was going to be something I could do, and ended up the next year falling into being able to train for it, and I competed at it, as I said, a week before my 18th birthday, and it was really just a bit of fun. It wasn't anything I took super seriously. It was something to give me more direction in training. Then I didn't compete again until the same contest 2007. Then later in 2007, I won a novice amateur type show. Like back home, we don't have a pro card system, so the way it works is that you have a novice contest and then you eventually get into the opens.
Which
is, you know, just more experience. So did that, and then February 2008 did my first Scotland Strongest Man qualifier and qualified for that. And then I went to, and that's when, like, really for me, that was when it was still sort of getting serious, but still I didn't see it going far, you know?
Yeah.
Especially because when I had my first Scotland Strongest Man, I came dead last, you know?
Yep. Yeah, that'll take the wind out of you, man.
Wind out. But so that was in start of May. I think it was the start of June or mid-June, or maybe it was the end of June, whenever it was. At that point in time, there was still a separate qualifier for UK Strongest Man.
Yep.
I went to that, and my best friend and myself took first and second.
Nice.
And it was simply because, you know, heavier contest, you know, I mean,
yep.
Just, it just fitted me better at that point in time.
Yep.
And then, and from then it's been ups and downs, you know, like did that, I think I, at that point, I think I still am. I'm not sure. Maybe I'm wrong in saying this, but at that point in time, I was the youngest person to ever qualify for UK Strongest Man.
Oof.
I think maybe Tom Stoltman from Scotland now has surpassed that. I'm not sure. He's pretty young. But I did that second, like zeroed the first event, which was a 310 Viking press, zeroed it.
Mm-hmm.
Next event, injured my knee. That was me done for the contest.
Yeah.
So that sort of, you know, that was another one, took the air out. And there's been ups and downs, you know.
Like, sure.
You know, you go to, you know, so that was 2008. 2009, UK Strongest Man, I actually missed because my father passed away.
Mm-hmm.
And 2010, I went back there and, well, I had the Arnold first, which, you know, I was going to the Arnold thinking, oh, I can get top 10 here. I got 50-something.
Oh, shit. You know?
Then,
wow.
Then went to Body Power Expo there, took like last or second last. But it was all these things which eventually added up to doing better, because simply like you keep hitting these hurdles and you're like, great, okay, well, that's another one that I, you know, didn't do as well as I wanted to. Then I went to,
yep.
Then I went to UK Strongest Man that year, and I was, you know, right behind a guy who had been at Britain's and been at IFSA Worlds and all this sort of stuff. And I almost put him at the contest. And
yep.
There was an interview after it, and the guy's like, you know, he made me work for it.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, the very next year, I went back and took second at UK Strongest Man.
It's awesome.
Year after that, I went to the Arnold, took seventh of the Arnold, qualified for Europe's Strongest Man, won Body Power, got, I can't remember what I got at Britain's, I think it was 8th or 9th, I can't remember exactly what it was. Then went and won Scotland's Strongest Man, competed at Europe's and didn't do well. But, I mean, at that contest, you're sitting looking at Zadrunas and Radzikowski and stuff, so
yeah.
I wasn't really expecting to be high up in the placings.
Absolutely.
The week after, go to China, win there. The week after that, come back, win another Scotland's Strongest Man, the UK qualifier at that point. And then a couple of weeks out from UK Strongest Man, 2012, detached my bicep.
Yep. Yeah.
So I was,
yeah.
I mean, that was like the role. I was like, oh man, I'm winning. Everything I go into, I'm pretty much winning.
Yep.
And it was so, it felt so, I don't want to say easy.
Yep.
But it just felt like such, what's the word? Like, it was routine. Because I was competing so much that it was routine, you know?
Yeah,
like
yeah,
I wasn't making silly mistakes when I won the Scotland's Strongest Man, which was like the main one, so to speak. They didn't qualify you for it used to be a qualifier for Britain's Strongest Man, but at that point in time it wasn't anymore. There was no Britain's Strongest Man at that point in time. But I went there. I mean, and when I prep for a contest, I sit and I analyze it all. But
sure.
I think some people analyze other people.
Yep.
And I know people I've trained with in the past would be like, well, what's this guy capable of? And what's that guy capable of? And really, it doesn't really matter, in my opinion.
Right.
Like, for me, I would spend hours. I mean, I think we found out the events for Scotland's Strongest Man. It was, was it 9th of June? No, 13th of June, I think it was, whenever it was.
Okay.
And we found out the events in, like, March.
Yep.
So I'm spending from March to June. Playing scenarios in my head, but it's more stuff like, okay, if I drop a sandbag, how can I how can I limit the damage on that as fast as possible?
Yep.
But because I was I knew exactly all my motions, and then I've been competing so much that year, I didn't make a mistake, you know.
Right.
And we were back and forth, me and another guy back home. We were back and forth quite a bit, but eventually, and I managed to take the win.
Yep.
And then since then, it's been the same thing. You know, I detached my bicep for that August 2012. The March afterwards, I was at the Arnold, and I missed out on top 10 by 1 point.
Wow.
You know, so then it's like ups and downs, and then it's okay. Like, I move out to the States. Then it's getting adjusted here.
Yep.
I won Colorado State, went to Nationals, didn't go to plan. Last year, dieted down, went to national, won Colorado State as a middleweight, went to nationals, didn't go as planned. So it's just little things that eventually they build up. And I think it's finding where you're at and not getting disheartened. I mean, last year right before the Arnold, I was in a situation where I was ready to give up the whole sport just specifically because I wasn't in the group I was with. I didn't feel like I fitted in, sort of, you know?
Right.
And I know some people know the story and some people don't, whatever, but I just didn't think it was productive to where I was getting, and it was pretty stressful to the point where I was ready to give up the whole thing.
Yeah, and absolutely.
At the point where, you know, I think everything's going well, my strength is up, very motivated again. And it's, you know, with the whole mental attitude, it's not just about strongman, you know. It's like for me, like strongman and training, when my father passed away, you know, that was, you know, it saved me basically, you know.
Yeah, I know that well.
You know, like right now, I'm prepping to fly out to the UK on Wednesday because my grandfather just passed.
Ah, sorry to hear that, man. Jeez, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I went out there for a couple.
I remember you were out there.
And then I got stuck with visa stuff, and got back on a Friday. On the Wednesday, he passed, and he was doing great when I left him on the Thursday. So it was sort of a shock. But I mean,
hey, you know, Kenny, you never know. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but you know, you never know. Maybe they know down deep something's up, and he was just waiting to see you too, man.
I mean, you never know, but. For me, same thing. You know, you come in, you're all, like you're not really sure what's going on. But when you go train, you know what's going on. You know exactly. Like I get my program through. I know what I got to do. When I go walk into the gym, that's it. There's for those two and a half hours, whatever it is.
Yep.
That's what I'm doing, and nothing else matters at that point. And I'll take motivation. Like. The day before he passed, I got news that he was critical, and I had to go in and train.
Yep.
And I was sort of distracted, but, you know, I amped up and I got my work done. That was all I had to do, you know?
No, that's what I want to say, too. This is what I think is so fundamental about, you can clarify it any way you want, lifting, strongman. I think you and I, obviously, are going to lean towards that all the time because the thing I've gained out of strongman out of everything is this, and it's really with every lift, but I think maybe it's just the way I interpret it with myself, is there's no cut and dry. It's like either you do it or you don't do it, or you do it sloppily and get hurt, or, you know, you and I both know lifting can be a very, very positive influence, but if especially with the mental end we're talking about here, if you are weak mentally, this stuff will break you. There's no doubt about it, and it will break you fast. I mean, but like, you know, you're talking about the injuries, the tears, you know, the same thing. I've had them, the bicep tear in Iceland. You got to be a pretty tough nut because I'll tell you just my experience quick is when I tore it was more like I didn't want to hear everybody saying I told you so, number one. And number two, I have such pride in what I do, and this will sound, well, I think you could definitely, you'll understand this. I was embarrassed, Ken. Mm-hmm. And flying home on Icelandic Air was like a bullshit thing for me. I just wanted to stay in Iceland, get fixed, and go after it again. But I had to come home. I had a job. I've got family, the whole deal. But if you're not tough, man, and you're not willing to play, and this is a dangerous sport. Don't let me, you know, we're talking about lifting stones and competing, and it sounds like a, you know, to some people, it's like, wow, man, what a thing. I'd love to do it. Let me caution anybody out there. It's only caution. If anybody asks me, I tell you to do it. It's the greatest thing in the world. It's also pretty deadly. I mean, it can literally kill you, and it can maim you up pretty bad. So be ready for anything that's coming your way, but isn't life great with a little bit of edge or danger on it? So I think that this sport creates a mental atmosphere within your head like no other. Look, you can look at football players, baseball players, et cetera, they only get so much longevity in the sport. Baseball, probably out of all of them, if you're lucky enough and you can play 20 years, that's unbelievable. But most sports, anything with heavy contact, you're lucky if you last 3 to 5 years. What we do, unless you kill yourself or maim yourself, you know, how many guys, how many of the old-timers you see, they're lifting well into their 80s, some of them now. Some are in their 90s still lifting. That's what I think is so unique what we do. But let me ask you this with what I've said. Where do you think you'd be? I mean, you probably would have found something you liked, but if you didn't find this, do you think that no matter what you were doing, you would ever be as mentally tough as you are right now?
Honestly, I don't think so.
No, I'm with you. Yeah.
It's a hard one to really say yes or no to. Because really, I mean, to be blunt, without Strongman, I don't think I would be where I am in life at all right now. I mean, hell, I know agree. I wouldn't be, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, okay, yeah, I think Strongman, like going through university, I had a pretty, you know, tough degree.
Yeah.
But I was competing and training and all that at the same time. It taught me something where, you know, if you want something bad enough, then you go and do it. You know, you make the sacrifices, all that sort of stuff. Yep. And it's cliche, but it's true. I mean, I had somebody when I was in school out here for the therapy stuff, someone made the comment of, oh, I'm finding it really hard to balance school and social life and work. And,
yeah.
I'm like, and I basically called them out and said, hey, I think what you're saying is absolute crap. You know, if you want something bad enough, then you go and do it. You know, I have a master's degree in chemical and process engineering, which is no mean feat to go and get something like that. But at the same time, I managed to go into a sport and become, at least in my mind, at one point in time, a world class athlete, and I'm aiming to get back at that distinction. But I think people they bitch out too easy, you know.
Yeah, yeah. And they sell themselves short. They really do. You know what I mean?
You know, like, I see it. I don't want to take away from the guys at the gym, but I see it with some of the CrossFit guys.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and it's like, you'll watch them train or do a WOD or whatever, and halfway through it, they're resting. I'm like, shit, no, dude. If you go to the games, you're going to rest halfway through a damn workout?
Yeah.
No, you're not. You're going to kill yourself until you finish that fucking thing. Stop resting here.
Yep.
You know?
Yep. Well, you and I both know what you're doing in the gym is going to carry over to what you're doing out on the competition field. And if you're training like a pussy at home or in the gym, what do you think is going to carry over with you when you go in? Because you and I both know, you know, you guys are, you know, strongman is one of the greatest sports where they all support one another. That's one of the things I admire about the most. But let's face it, when you're out in the field, what do you want to do? You want to tear your opponent's head off. All right, you want to win. And, you know, in today's day and age with the pussified world we live in, especially males, it's like, oh, no, you know, don't be like that. You know, everybody gets a trophy, you know. You don't want to be better than anybody else. Well, bullshit, take a walk out in the real world and see what it's like. And, you know, to work out in a way that's subpar to what you want to achieve, failure is imminent. You know what I mean? That's the way it is. So, yeah, go ahead. I mean, I just wanted to throw that in.
I mean, I couldn't agree more. It's like, yep. You know, my coach, he'll write down, like, okay, for this stuff, rest 3 to 5 minutes between sets.
Exactly.
I'm like, fuck, 2 minutes in, I'm like, Christ, maybe 90 seconds in, I'm like, okay, I'm ready to go.
Yeah.
And you're forcing yourself. I'm like, okay. I mean, if I'm doing like today, I think I've got 10 singles on log today. And I think it's three to five minutes between sets. Yep. I know when it hits 2.5 minutes, I'm wrapping my wrists and I'm ready to go right at 3 minutes.
Yep.
You know, and it's like, like people at the gym right now, because the temperatures come up a little bit in Colorado, I mean, I'll sweat through a shirt and make it look like I've been standing in a damn shower for an hour. You know? And they're like, shit. The other kid's like, yeah, I'm fucking working, you know?
And no shit. Yeah, well, they don't want you to sweat anymore either because they probably are like, oh, no, that's not that. You don't want to do that. You smell then. Fuck you. You know what I mean? It's like, you know what I'm doing with little Alex, man? Like, he ain't little, but he's really got – I'm just pushing him. You know, he squatted his first 140 pounds on Saturday real easy. And I've got 6 stones that range from about 70 pounds to 140. and I'm starting to space him out, and he did 30 feet down, 30 feet back, and I put him on an egg timer, Ken.
Okay.
And at first I was catching him, you know, by the third round, you know, he wouldn't be moving as fast and sluggish, and I said to him, I'm not yelling at you like I'm your father. You know, you come here and you do what we need to do, and that's it. If you can't, you got to go home. And he kind of laughed. I said, and you go home and suck your thumb like a baby. Like, so believe it or not, I set it for four minutes to go up and back, because he'll always take a little puff in between. And Saturday on the sixth round, believe it or not, he looked stronger than ever, and he did it with about a half a minute left. So, you know, it's funny how you set things up in your head, because now when he hears that timer, you ought to, as soon as I click that on and tell him to go, it's funny as hell. But you know what? I do that to myself. It motivates the shit out of me. And I'll tell you, one of the biggest setups with it is this. You don't want to fail yourself, right?
Oh, yeah.
So if I hear that damn timer go off, man, I want to throw that rock through the wall, right? It's a great way to train. It's a great way to learn yourself. And look, we're not going to make it every time. But see, every time I'm walking out there and saying, well, I'm going to get it this time. I'm going to get it this time. And, you know, next week I'll spread them out some more footage. And I'm adding a seventh stone, which will be probably about 50 to 70 pounds heavier, which he'll do for one short distance. So he might run the other ones, let's say 40 feet next week, and he'll take the heavier one and run it 15 feet. So we'll start playing those games now. Eventually, he'll be taking those six stones and covering 95 down and 95 back. Now, anybody that could sit here and tell us that you're not getting considerably stronger and bigger doesn't know much about anything. Because what I've learned, and I've learned it well, is we got this crazy notion all the time. How much do you lift? Well, I got news for you. I've been learning more and more shit about myself. If you're going balls to the wall every workout, you're going to be finished pretty quickly. You got to know when to pull up and go. You know, I might take something and pull up on two movements and take one and bury it totally.
Yeah.
I think if you learn those lessons quickly, your success rate's going to be much higher. The injuries are going to be far less. And you and I both know we've had torn biceps and everything. That's no fun, man. You know, and if you can keep yourself as healthy as possible, you know, you're going to start getting those big goals and winning these competitions. So what's your feeling on that, Ken?
I agree completely. I mean, like, for me, it's like, you know, there's always going to be a hurdle in this game, you know?
Sure, so yeah.
You can't – there's too much of this attitude of, why would you want to put yourself through it? I mean, I get people like, excuse me, people say to me, oh, well, you're not worried about how you're going to be later in life? I'm like, no, I'm not. I mean, like my dad lived to, how old would my dad been? He was 2009, so that would have been, so he died at 54.
Yep. Yep.
And I'm like, shit, you know? Am I going to make it to old age? I don't know. I'd rather put it this way. I'd rather destroy my body and do what I love right now than worry about if I'm going to be around in the future. Because you never know.
No, you don't. Oh. And you know something, man? Take a walk through an old folks' home. I mean, I feel bad for most of them. I mean, that's where they are now. You know, would you rather have just a drool cup under you, man? I'd rather go out like lightning, you know, like John Paul Sigmerson there.
Yeah.
You know, he deadlifted, he dropped dead on the friggin' platform. I mean, most people would say when I say that, I mean, you understand it. It's like, hey, you know what? He died for something he believed in, and he wasn't some big, fat, overweight, hate world person that was like 75 years old, and they just make it hard for everybody. I've met so many people like that. It's like, who wants to live like that, man? And, you know, you and I and a lot of the listeners here are used to living a certain way. We do certain things. You know something, man? So what? It's not the years. It's what you do in the years that measures, man. At least that's my belief.
Yeah,
what do you think?
I agree. I mean, it's like, look at my grandfather right now. My grandfather would have been 91 in June.
Wow.
He was never in the hospital until now. He would go in his rowing machine every single morning until a few months ago. Yep. You know, and that's how he lived. He worked hard. You know, I mean, he was deaf because he worked in the damn. He worked on Ark Royal, one of the aircraft carriers. You know, couldn't hear because of the damn engines from the planes. But he lived life to the fullest, you know.
Yeah.
And for me, it's like I'm not going to sit here and go, oh well, what if this happens or what if that happens? It's like, what's the point? You know, you'll never live. Mm-mm. You know, it's like my business partner will say to me, like, we'll talk about, like, I want to go start snowboarding again because I've not been in about, you know, 8 years or something. He goes, oh, you wouldn't do that. I couldn't do that. It's too risky. What happens if you get hurt? I'm like, I don't care, you know? Like, you don't know what's going to happen. Hell, I mean, I was driving the dog to daycare a couple hours this morning, and some guy almost took me off the road, you know?
Jesus Christ.
You don't know what's going to happen, you know?
Yeah, well, and that's the thing. You die of regret, you know? You don't think about it until you're laying on your back in a hospital and they tell you, you know, maybe you'll make the end of the week. It's like, what? You know, it's like suddenly your whole life flashes in front of you, and that's what you and I were talking about offline about entrepreneurship and wanting to make this much this month and growing. You know, I think a lot of people are just beaten down. They go through the school system and they never hear anything positive. And it's like, you need to separate yourself from the pack when it's like that. And there's going to be a lot of people you love and admire that are going to say cruel things to you. And I'll tell you right now, once again, separate yourself from the pack. If you know what you want to do, if you have passion for something you love, all I can say, and I say it on any show we talk about this type of thinking, go after it. And I mean it wholeheartedly. You're going to have days. I had a day last week where I thought we were cashed. And I told Ken before we came on, if that didn't break me, nothing's ever going to break me. It was that bad. But you can see, even though you might not see things happening right away, things are always happening behind the scenes. And that goes with lifting. Okay, you can be stuck at a certain lift, it seems like forever. And then just go out there one day, you're not even thinking about it, and you lift and you pull something 25 pounds heavier, and you're like, what the hell just happened? Well, you get to a point mentally and bodily, and something's got to go one way or another. If you stay steadfast in what you're doing, you'll win every time. But that's where we go down the pipe with most people, because as soon as it gets a little hard, what is your first notion? Bail. Well, if you're going to go through your life bailing on everything and everyone, you're going to be a lonely, lonely person. So go ahead, Kenny, take it.
I mean, for me, like as you're saying about people saying negative stuff, that was one of the biggest things that made me leave that training group. I was prepping for the Arnold with, you know.
I know who you're with.
I mean, shit, you know what? I was training with Brian Shaw. And I'll call the guy out because, to be honest, it got to me when he said this. I was prepping for the Arnold.
Yep.
And at that point in time, there was still a car deadlifting it. It later got changed because they couldn't get four cars the same.
Okay.
So anyway, training for car deadlift. We were limited on space because he was training for the Arnold too. And I said, you know what? Instead of dragging the car deadlift frame out, I'll just do frame deadlift, like a frame walk.
Yeah.
I'll just deadlift the frame walk, and we'll do that. And he says, what do you want? What weight do you want to do? I said, I want to do 900 pounds for 10 reps.
Right.
And he said to me, I'll be surprised if you can do that. Yeah. He was late to training. He walked in right as I started that set.
Yep.
And I hit 10 reps in about 39 or 37 seconds.
Nasty.
The week after, I went 750 and hit 20 reps in 30-something seconds.
Yep.
You know, and that's what motivated me. So don't tell me I can't do something. I'm here trying to help you.
Yeah.
If you're not going to help me, I'm done.
Yep.
And that's what happened. You know, the guy didn't help anybody but himself. And now he's not got anybody, you know?
Yep.
And I'll be straight. I mean, the guy shot himself in the foot with so many people. You know, that's why I'm sitting now. I don't care. If the guy wants to sit and call me out, I don't give a crap anymore. You know?
Yep.
Hell, we went to the Arnold this year. We worked with Zdrunas and Lalas.
Mm-hmm.
We worked with Zdrunas and Lalas on the day before a contest, and they said thank you probably more times than Brian did ever.
Yeah.
In an evening.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
The guy wouldn't look at us at the Arnold, and you know, he knows he did wrong. He knows he screwed up. He knows he pissed on people. she's got to live with that. But I'm glad that I'm not with that guy. I'm not with that negativity anymore, because it wasn't getting me anywhere. And that's what got me stronger too. You know, it's like, don't sit and tell me I can't do something. Don't tell me that we're here for the team and the team's to get better, because we're not. We're here to get you better and nothing else.
Right.
And you don't give us crap.
Yep.
So that's great. And maybe I sound bitter or whatever, but honestly, people can have the opinion they want. But no, the Brian Shaw you see out there in social media is not Brian Shaw. I'll put it that way.
Right. Right. Well, there's a lot of people out there like that, and they're self-centered, and that's where I'll comment on Zivikas. He understands it, obviously. You know, supposedly a guy in his mid to late 30s is finished in this sport. My feeling is, unless he gets some type of ending injury or just gives up mentally, which I don't see that, he's going to be hanging around for a few more. You can bet on it. And is it Lawless, the other guy from Lithuania that came in third, right?
Yep.
You know, the funny thing about him, Ken, is this. He's not a big, tall guy. Obviously, he's like a 320 or 330 or whatever it is, or he's lighter this year. I don't remember.
He's my height. He's about 5'11". Maybe he's 5'10", and he weighs about 325.
Okay. He's deadly, man. And that's what makes me – that's why people – this is something we'll hit right now. I want to get your opinion, because you're right in the middle of it. Okay. The two biggest guys that when we – it's usually always the top three with Thor, Brian Shaw, and Zydrunas, all right? Now, Zydrunas is what, 6'4", maybe? So considering these guys are 6'9", 7 foot, I mean, he's short. That's what they'll tell you. Mm-hmm. But when you got a guy that's 5'11", 325 or whatever, coming in third place, that should be a wake-up call to everybody that you don't have to be 6'9", 4'30 to win, all right?
Well,
you know, and, go ahead.
That's the thing. I mean, when he won the Arnold a few years ago, you know, he was the same thing, you know, 5'11", 5'10", 320, 330. And then he went on and almost won Worlds. Really, I mean, in my opinion, the only reason Lalas didn't win Worlds in 2012 was because the last event was Power Stairs. And it was him and Zydrunas head-to-head.
Yep.
Zydrunas had that extra height, and it paid off. You know, same thing. And here's the other thing, you know. You see these guys, or they're 6'9", 6'8", whatever.
Yep.
Look at Malaysia last year. Who won the power stairs? Zydrunas.
Right.
You know?
Right. Yep.
Because he doesn't think. He just goes and does it, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And the guy, to be totally honest, Zydrunas wasn't ready for the Arnold this year. He still had some little niggles. Lalas. He was coming back to the first contest in 2 years. Yeah.
Okay.
2 years. He's been off 2 years with a back injury.
Wow.
He pulled this, what was it, 415 kilo deadlift. So it's like 916, I think it was.
Yep.
And he comes off the bar, and he looks like someone's, you know, he's just seen a ghost. He couldn't believe what happened.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
I mean, honestly, I think if you have Lalas in the shape he was a few years ago without that back injury, because he's got stuff going on with other stuff that's hindering other events,
he
could have repped that 300 dumbbell. He should have repped it. His deadlift should have been higher. His log, he probably should have got another one. His yoke went well, and obviously frame went well. But, you know, this is how it goes. But at the same time, you know, these guys, and this comes down to the mental aspect too. You know, look at Zydrunas. He was... What was he? 3 points? Three or four? I think he was 4 points behind going into the last event. You know? Lalas was more than that. So Lalas could only get third. He had to beat this big Polish, you know, the young Polish guy. He had to beat him on frame to secure third. He did that.
Yep.
No, if you look, I'll give you a little insight backstage, and this goes on to the whole mental thing. If you look at Zydrunas and Lalas would maybe joke around a tiny bit with Colin Bryce and us, nothing much.
Yep.
Zydrunas sat silent. I mean, silent. You know, he would maybe say, hey, can you fix this on me? I've got this going on, whatever. But apart from that, he was silent. You look across the other side of the room, you have the leader in the contest, laughing, joking with the cameras and other people. Whatever.
Yep.
You know? And I'll tell you this straight. When I was standing backstage and they introduced Zydrunas onto the stage, right before the frame walk.
Yep.
If anybody saw his eyes during that introduction, I mean, he could have melted the damn camera with his eyes. That guy was so focused, you knew it was about to go down.
Yep.
He came up and he did, I can't remember what his time was on frame, but he destroyed it. Absolutely destroyed it. And the best thing was he came off and he goes, the very first time I won the Arnold, I won it with frame walk. He actually won the frame walk with a torn Achilles.
Oh,
bad he wanted to win that contest. This year, he was 4 points back. Brian had to get fifth. He had to get first. That's what happened. He wanted it so bad, it didn't matter how many points were in that gap. He was doing it.
He was winning.
Same with Yoko Ahola. There's a thing, there's a 30 years of pain, I think it is, where Samuelsson from Sweden says it doesn't matter how far Yoko was behind, he would literally kill himself for every single point that he could get.
Without
try
a doubt.
And win. The journalist did the same thing, and it happened. You know, he got off stage, and we were like, you just won the damn Arnold. Came from 4 points behind in an event which you've been known to screw up. And you completely destroyed the course. You destroyed everybody. You know?
You know, that mental, that type of conditioning you've done to yourself mentally, I mean, we all have it. But when you see somebody come out with those steel eyes, man, you know, you're in big trouble. And, you know, when you're this is what I don't like about sports now at all, is, all right, if you want to be friendly after the game, that's fine. But you know what? To me, when you go out in the field with anybody, they are your enemy at that point. And the idea is to basically put the stake right through their heart, man. Now everybody's patting each other and smiling and laughing. I don't know that. I just think that goes right along with everything in today's world. Where, all right, we get out there and play hard and everything, but you know we're friends before the game and after the game. That's not how I would approach the game, and that's not how I would have my players approach the game. When you go out there, you have a job to do, and that's it. After the job's done, go over and say hello to them. Go shake anybody's hand you want. But, man, you know, when you're talking to people in the back room and they're laughing and joking, I just don't think that you're mentally sharp or focused at that point. That leaves you vulnerable to getting your ass kicked. And guess what? Then you go away second, and nobody wants to be second in anything. So, no, I agree with you. Ken, let's anything you want to comment is fine. We're going to wind the show up. And, you know, I'm just trying to think. You know, give anything out you want as far as the show here. Like if there's any pointers you think that would help our listeners and obviously anybody that wants to get involved in the strength sport. And when you're done with that, just give out all your information, your website. I'll give mine and just hang on the line if you would, please.
Just to add to what you're saying there about laughing and joking with people. I mean, that's honestly, when I would compete, a lot of time I'd isolate myself. And I remember when I won that Scotland's Strongest Man contest, June 2012, my girlfriend at the time, afterwards, she goes, now I can see why everyone thinks you're an asshole. I was like, what do you mean? It's like, well, look how you act. Everyone's in the athlete area laughing, joking. You're outside by yourself. You don't talk to anybody the whole day. It's like, I'm not there to laugh and joke. I'm there to go and win. Yeah. And that's what, to be honest, it made me unliked by a lot of people. The other thing that made me unliked when I first started the sport was that I was so damn young compared to everybody else, and I was destroying them.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But I'm not there to – and that's the thing. We're never going to make millions of dollars from strongman. But I'm not there to make millions of dollars. I'm there to make it to World's Strongest Man. So if people don't want to like me simply because of the fact that I'm there for business, then so be it. You know, I mean, I think I definitely agree with you that, you know, what you mentioned earlier in the show about, you know, everyone gets a medal. That's my biggest problem with powerlifting.
Yeah.
You go to a powerlifting contest and they've got 100 trophies sitting there for everybody in the contest. I'm like, no, that's not how it works. Not a winner unless you place first. You know? Yep. Like,
well, and that's no, you know what, that gives nobody an incentive to go out and do the best they can.
Well, it's like in that Will Ferrell movie, Talladega Nights. Yep. Either you're first or you're last. You know?
Exactly.
There's no second place.
Nope.
So that's my opinion. I mean, in terms of, you know, pointers for mental winning, mental strength, I mean, one, focus on yourself.
Yep.
Two, anything bad going on in your life, don't look at it as bad, especially when you're in the gym. Like, you can use it for motivation for anything. You know, like, I went to the, when I was in the UK, I had some visa issues. When I went to fly back, I got stuck there an extra 10 days. I didn't sit and wallow. I sat and worked on extra career, like business stuff, you know?
Absolutely.
I made positive use of that time. You know, I go to the gym. My grandfather's not in good condition. Okay, I'm going to use it as motivation. If I've had a bad day with whatever, I'm going to use it as motivation. Nothing should be negative. I mean, yeah, it can be crappy or whatever, but there's always a way to turn a negative into a positive. And if it means getting aggressive and going out there and doing your job, be it in training or whatever, that's what you got to do. You don't dwell on stuff. I mean, that's the biggest thing I've done in the past, you know? Like, hell, I mean, there was points in time after my dad died that I'll be straight. I'd go out for drives and I would drive on, you know, two track country road, one lane each way at 90 mile an hour. Very, very, very windy road, simply because I didn't want to be there anymore. And then I was like, you know what? I'm just going to hurt more people if I'm not here, I hurt more people. So what's the point of me hurting people, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
So, but everything has to be positive. There's no point in being negative because it doesn't get you anywhere. You know, that's what they say about worrying. It's a useless emotion.
It is. You can't change. You're not going to change anything worrying.
The only way you can win is if you are positive, if you are confident in your abilities and you don't pay attention to other people. That's what it comes down to. In my opinion, that's what it comes down to. There's no point worrying about, especially in this sport. Something else, obviously this is a different sport, but in other stuff, maybe you can worry about other people. But at the end of the day, in this sport, all you can do is what you can do. That's it.
Yeah. And I think that goes with anything, Ken. I mean, you do the best you can do, and you're going to come out a winner if you're like that. Not everything is going to create what you want, but you know what? It gives you incentive to keep tracking it down, you know, like a bloodhound, and you get it. You know, I mean, that's why you're right on the mark. I mean, I'm not wasting my time on people that don't want to work with you or train with you or, you know, don't have a good thing to say about anybody, because chances are down the road, they're just taking themselves out. And my feeling now is this. You make distance between people like that, because all they're going to do is hurt you, and you stay away from all that stuff. So I think you got it right on the mark, man. I mean, you know enough, like myself, where I'm not going to sit there and worry about what people think. I'm not going to be carrying grudges with people. All you do is you go on to the next thing, because chances are they're not going to do a damn thing for you anyway. So you get the hell out of the mess and just keep going and going and going. If you can create that within you, if you can create a mind like that, let me tell you something. You will be a leader in any industry you're involved in. So I'll just hand it to you. I'll leave mine at that.
For me, just one more point that I would say.
Yeah, go ahead, man. Go ahead.
You know, we're sitting talking about winning. Winning isn't always first place. I mean, I know I said either you're first or you're last. And in my mind, that's the way it is. I'm never going to go into a contest not wanting to take first place. But the biggest thing for me as an athlete, especially coming up the ranks, was that, my opinion is that the whole time you're an athlete, this should be the case, that if you're not learning something new at a contest every single time, something's wrong. That's when you stop progressing. I mean, There's also, like, you can come dead last in a contest, but in when you sit and you analyze it, you can still, there's a win there somewhere, you know?
Absolutely.
The win might not be first place, you might have lost, and that's what people need to understand, that there's a difference between losing the whole contest and winning little battles.
Yeah.
So that's another thing that I would say. I mean, apart from that, I think that's me. That's where I'm at with it all. In terms of, you know, as you were saying, putting things out there. If anyone wants to get in touch with me, just go to knstrongman.com. All the social media, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, it's all knstrongman. I'm pretty easy to get a hold of. I'll reply, and we'll talk about stuff if you want to talk about it.
Cool. This is Motivation Muscle, the podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. We're sponsored by Dr. Wong's Essentials, www.docspreferred.com. Also, too, don't forget, Steven Santangelo, unleash your strength with relentless metabolic endurance through 100% pure, wholesome, organic foods. Athlete's Choice is the only product with the ultimate results you're looking for. Primal Creations at AOL.com. Facebook, STEPHEN, period, SANTANGELO, period, 75. And I thank Steven for all the help and the support he's given me with my training. And I hope we can talk about some of it. He's going to be on, I believe, this week. Everybody needs to have strong adrenals. Obviously, you want stuff that keeps your body pretty clean. And he's got the best vitamin C I've ever taken. So maybe we'll talk about that on the next show. Don't forget our contest for the 8X Club. You can enter that. We're partnered up with 8X Club. That's Donnie G and Fardino. The contest started on May 1st, goes through May 18th, 2016. Go out to motivationandmuscle.com/club. Enter in your email address and your name, and we will pick the winner on the 19th of May. And I got news for you. You're going to be able to come on Motivation and Muscle with Donnie and myself, and I wish everybody the best of luck. Motivationandmuscle.com/club. Enter in today and become a winner. Fiorella Barbell Co., the top 10 ways to build mind and muscle, free ebook, 10 paragraphs, commit, think, take action. Also, our two biggest products out on FiorellaBarbellCo.com, Strength Times Power Equals Success, and the Winner's Circle. If you like what we talked about here today, it's scattered all over those products. Obviously, I've used them to cut weight off people, to build people. The Strength Times Power is all very interchangeable. It's very simple, simplistic. If that's what you want, go out and check them both out. FiorelloBarbellCo.com, motivationandmuscle.com. We're on iTunes and Stitcher. Give us a 5-star review, and I appreciate everybody who's done it. Also, too, if there's a show you'd like Ken and I to do, FiorelloBarbell@NICAP.R.com. Facebook, FiorelloBarbell.com, motivationandmuscle.com. On Twitter, we're at FiorelloEric, and shortly we're going to launch the Motivation and Muscle Twitter site, too. That's being worked on right now. And I'll leave you with these five things. If someone seeks you out in the gym or the concrete jungle, never be afraid to give some good words of inspiration, wisdom, whatever you want to do. Because as we talk today, man, words can just take care of you or just punch your lights out if you don't, you know, if you're listening to the wrong people. As my mom said when we were kids, never be afraid to say hello to somebody or give them a smile. That might be all you get. If you're going to go out and lift today, you know, squat, pull, push. If you're going to take some stones, turn them into dust. And as the great Hoosa Steel Crusher Stone says in Blood Red, domination. We are domination. We clear cut the path. We don't follow anyone's path. And as I say in my articles at the end, dominate, obliterate, and dent everything in your path. Do not walk around. Take it on. And also, too, no one will ever clip our balls here. And as Russell Fur says, who's been on the show and who's listened to Motivation and Muscle since day one, when I listen to your shows, I swear there's testosterone dripping out of my speakers. That was one of the nicest things anybody's ever said to me. And Russell will say that to the day we sign off. And that's going to be at least 25 to 30 years. Ken, thanks for being on the show. Super show,
sir. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome anytime. So for Ken Nowicki, this is Eric Fiorello. Ken will be on with us in June. Be a steward of strength. Don't stand on the side of the road. Tell 100 of your friends about us. Whether you do or not, we're coming for them too. Have a great week, everybody, and do something productive.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.